I just finished my engine rebuild. I ended up having to rebuild my engine due to a bearing slipping.
Oof.
And
ouch.
Yeah. So we ended up doing
and yeah, it hurts everybody,
yeah.
Right?
That yeah had a lot of pain behind it. Welcome to Third Pedal Podcast. I'm Zach.
I'm Jacob.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. How's it going, man?
It's good.
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. Seems like it.
Yeah. So what do we, what do we want to hit first? This week, it's going to be a special episode. In a minute, we're going to talk about all of the stuff you guys have sent in. So we've gotten a video about a build that one of you did. We've got a couple questions that came in too that we want to cover. And just go over things that you guys sent. We've said this a lot. We're probably beating a dead horse at this point. But like this whole podcast is really, it's not about just us sitting talking on camera.
Yeah.
It's just a big car club. That's pretty much all it is.
Yep.
So we're, I mean, even right now while we're recording, we've got a live going on TikTok where we're interacting with everybody too, that we had a little behind the scenes moment there too. And then now we're just going to leave it on during, cause we're talking about everything. I mean, the guys who have sent this in are probably watching it too. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so we're just going to run over some of those stories and then
yeah, like
see where it goes.
What's the cool thing is, so like you said, this is all for you guys. Like you guys are a crew. Everything we talk about when we are talking with potential sponsors, whoever we're talking about, like we talk about you guys like you're us, you're a crew. Uh-huh. So like this is all really for you. We cannot wait to get out to shows this year.
Yes.
We're going to do some track events, some car shows. I think eventually we'll post that up on our website. Everything we're going to be confirmed to be at. We've got a little bit of scheduling conflict with a few, but we're working on it. But the cool thing about that is you guys have started to sense stuff into us, asking questions. Hey, what should I do for this engine swap? I've got
so
this
cool
car that you guys used to have. I heard you talk about it.
Right.
What would you do with this?
Right.
And we're just like, every time, immediately when those things go through, like we're doing all this, by the way, like this is downloaded on both of their phones. We are logged in on all our socials all the time. So like
there's nobody behind the camera. Nobody else. It's literally
us. We don't have a producer who's like, hey guys, you got a message. You got to address it. It's him calling me in the middle of the day. Be like, dude, do you see this guy sent us an email?
Right.
He sent us his building. Wants help with it. And we're just like, we get pumped about it. We're like, all right, we got day jobs. We got to finish this. And we'll talk about it in the evening. We'll talk about it on recording. So we get super excited. Anytime you guys send something over, we love talking about this stuff. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's just get right into it. So which one do we want to do? Well, let's do the first one that we got.
Right. Yeah. Let's do, it's a Veloster.
Yes. Yeah. So talk about it a little bit here.
Velosters are, okay, I think Velosters are pretty sweet. So
I don't know anything about them.
They are.
They look pretty cool, but I don't know.
A high level view, they're a 4-cylinder turbo. They come in a stick shift. They're front wheel drive. They're a hatchback. Hatchbacks are awesome. They sound awesome. I mean, even in the newer models, like Hyundai recognized it in their newer models. They're doing the Veloster N, which comes with a pops and bangs tune. I think it comes with launch control. It still comes in a stick shift in 2023. Like and we talked about that in a previous podcast, everything that comes in stick shift still. And that was one of the main ones,
including a Mitsubishi Mirage,
which apparently exists still for some reason.
Right.
I actually saw one the other day and I'm like, that might be a 2022.
That's
like, it
so
looks
funny.
Like a 2006. It might be a 2022.
Yeah.
Because they just never changed it.
That's so funny. You're right.
But anyways, I think they're pretty sweet. They're like the, we were talking about this a little bit. You know, you have a little bit more knowledge of like the pre 2000, what did we say, 2005-ish?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Around that. And I have a little bit more knowledge of like the 2000, the later 2000s up to the 2020s, kind of the newer car tech type of stuff.
Yep.
So this is one of those that I think is going to be iconic.
Yes.
The Veloster in in like the next decade or two decades of like cartooning,
right?
Because it's going to be that accessible, cheaper. It's going to be the Civics before they
it's a GTI.
Before you couldn't get a Civic for less than like $5,000.
Like
they're going to be the GTIs, the Civics. Like they're part of that, and they're already part of that, as you can see by what's this guy's name, Austin?
Yeah, Austin.
Austin.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks Austin for sending this in. We're going to go over your car now. We're super pumped about it. I just realized too. Can you pull up? Do you have our Gmail pulled up? Because we can play his audio, so we can hear it. We'll edit it into the episode. And then we're just going to scroll through his Instagram here and check this thing out. So it looks like he used to have a Subaru. And then I don't know if it was congruent with this or if he got the Veloster afterwards. But yeah, he's been doing a pretty big engine build on the Veloster.
Yeah.
And then he's got some cool modifications coming along the way. It looks like he's got a big front mount on it. He's got a nice spoiler sticking off the back now. It looks really, really good. And I'm not like nothing against him. I'm just not a huge Veloster fan. Like I don't know much about anything JDM really at all.
I would say you're a little less excited about the JDM tuner stuff.
Yeah.
And that was always like what I was super hyped about.
Yeah.
Just starting with the Datsun and like I always wanted a 240Z or 240SX, 240Z for sure, but 240SX.
Right. Right.
And they were totally inaccessible. Even at the time I was shopping, I was like, they're just way too expensive.
Yeah, I just never knew anything about it. It was always my default was always either Audi or Volkswagen. And then now that I have a WRX, I feel like I get looped into those communities more. Like as I start commenting and sharing my stuff on Facebook pages and stuff. stuff.
Yeah.
And, Subaru's it seems interesting.
Not to sidetrack too much, but WRX, Subaru seem to be in like their own space.
Yeah.
Where it almost ties into like the Euro crowd a little bit
it's
for
weird.
Some reason.
It's a weird
maybe because of like rally heritage and like maybe. That type of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Austin, we got a video from you. Yep. We're going to play this. We're going to edit it in because we got a lot of other things we want to talk about. Yep. Well, we're just going to listen to it here live. So if you are on TikTok Live, we've got you on here. We'll listen to it together here.
Yeah.
My name is Austin, and this is my 2013 Velociturbo build. Current plan with this car is going to be a show car, going to slam it off, stupid cold.
We should check out those shows, Steve.
Any meet in general, to be honest. But I just finished my engine rebuild. I ended up having to rebuild my engine due to a bearing slipping.
Oof.
And
ouch.
Yeah. So we ended up doing
it hurts everybody,
yeah,
right?
That had a lot of pain behind it. Yeah, man, that is a bit like some people say like, oh, look at my build, and they slap like a cold air intake on it, which is fine if that's all you're gonna do for right now.
Right.
There's gonna be a lot of people who criticize you for that's not a build, like wheels are not a build, intakes are not a build, like bolt. Some people say like full bolt-ons is not a build
because
you didn't build something.
Right.
But bro, Austin, you built that.
This
thing.
Is built. This is built. More built than either of our cars.
Yeah, I haven't gone that in depth.
No.
Besides, I have a BMW engine in the garage that I went in depth that far to tear it down.
Yep.
Which hasn't come back yet.
Right.
So
right.
It's still in the
is impressive though.
The like engine graveyard.
The amount of work that's gone into this thing. And then not only that, but the way he's finishing it on the outside. It looks sharp.
And I love to see it with something like a Veloster too.
Yeah.
Because more people will do this with a what people would consider a more traditionally like mainstream or cooler car, for example. Right.
Sure.
So like someone maybe would do this more realistically with a BRZ or an FRS or something, which is not necessarily just because it's cooler, but because the engine was built by Subaru and the head gaskets explode all the time.
Right.
But
well, and like parts are more readily available for something like that, I would think.
For sure.
Like, there's a lot more people tuning a WRX than there are rebuilding a Veloster from the ground up.
But I did
engine.
Look into it a little bit. So when he sent this in, that was the first I've really looked into Veloster tuning, stuff like that. There's a huge aftermarket business for this stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's super awesome.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah, let's keep going.
Nope, let me decline this phone call real quick. All right, keep going.
A KDM tuner's rebuild kit, which is billet forged internals, went with a 6-element front mount intercooler with the AV6 blow off valve from 6-element. Did a CHRA high flow 11 blade turbo, so it's just a stuffed turbo at the moment. And then I am waiting on my stage 2 tune, and I am running the EK1 Pro tuning module from 6-element as well, and then I am rocking a Van Bams shift knob.
I love that
from,
shift knob.
Bams shifts. But the main goal with this is just to turn it into a show car. Future plans with this, it's getting a set of coilovers, a new
Sick.
Set of wheels,
Sick.
And then
pretty sweet.
A wide body kit.
I currently have a
GT spoiler at the house ready to get installed onto it.
And it's on now. We got pictures of it now.
And that's pretty much it.
That's awesome.
But it looks so
other
good.
Other than that, there's no horsepower goals for it. Other than what it's got right now. And then after the tune is loaded up onto it, we'll see where it sits, and then I'm getting it dynoed.
Sweet.
Probably in the next month.
Yeah, no dyno
so,
yet.
That's what it looks like for...
Dude, it looks awesome.
It looks so good.
Especially
Great
with the bumper
job.
Off of it.
Oh,
like
man.
That, I think it's all completed now.
Yeah.
And you can see, I love when you can see the intercooler peeking out through the bumper.
Yep. I mean, yeah,
it's
look
like,
at it now. Like,
yeah,
you can
yeah.
still see it in that bottom area.
Like,
right?
Oh, it's just a Veloster. And then you see the front mount
yeah, man.
Peeking out. And yeah, that thing
right
is cool.
Now,
it's
the
so
bumper
awesome.
Doesn't fit on it due to the fog lights.
Oh, sure. So you got to fit up, dude. Nice job.
Looks awesome.
I'm planning on getting a new one anyways. So thank you guys
dude.
For having me on here. Can't wait to talk to you guys more.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I love it.
Dude, it's so cool. Thank you so much for sending it in. I cannot wait to see what this thing dynos at. It's very
I'm gonna
cool.
should we let's guess. So I believe it's a 2.0
yep.
in the Veloster.
Yep.
It might be a 1 point something, but mm-hmm. I think it's a 2.0. He's got stock turbo.
Yep.
But he's got front mounted a cooler. I'm assuming
is it a stock turbo?
That's what he said. He's got an 11 blade high flow, which is a stock turbo.
Okay.
So stock turbo, but he's going stage two.
Yep.
Rebuilt engines, forged internals. Right. So he can handle some boost.
Right.
And those stock turbos they put in those things, in most cars, even the Audi stock turbos, like you go stage one, stage two, up to like sometimes a stage three, depending on the Audi, the stock turbo can handle it. It's not going to love it.
Right.
But it can handle it. Right. So they kind of overbuild the turbo sometimes in these cars. So I'm going to say that's going to be pushing, and it's front wheel drive. So you have low drivetrain mechanical loss for power.
Yep. Because we're talking wheel horsepower now, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to, I guess, dyno. That's what we're going to do.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it's going to dyno in the mid threes, is my guess.
Okay. I was going to say 380.
Yeah.
I don't know why that feels like a number to me.
350 to 380, I think, is probably reasonable.
Yeah.
So I know you're saying, I love it. He's like, I don't have any power goals, but it's like, you're doing all the cool stuff though too at the same time. So, but I get that.
It's
like,
so you don't,
you're not like, oh, I got to hit 500 horsepower because you want to just like flex on people, right?
Right, right.
It's like,
it is very cool to say you have forged internals and I don't really have a power goal. We'll just see where it lands. It's like, whoa.
Save some for the rest of us, bro.
But anyway, awesome. Thank you so much, Austin, for sending that in. That is super rad. But all right, what do we want to hit next?
Let's go to another one I'm super excited about. This guy emailed us.
Okay.
And he is, I'll pull up the email.
Yeah, pull it up there real
quick. Is shopping for a, here we go. The title is Engine Swap. If you want us to read an email super quick, title it something like that.
Yes.
Engine Swap. We're like, yes. Okay, so this is JV. Shout out JV. Thanks for reaching out to us. He is looking for a engine swap suggestion. So he is okay. I should have read this all before. Reaching out because I would love to hear y'all's take on engine swaps. I was going to do one in my Focus RS, but opted to keep that as my stable daily.
Smart.
Good.
Smart.
Smart. Looking for a 944 and then or a Datsun. He said Datsuns are almost unattainable, so my choice is made for me. So we right off the bat, we read this and we're like, holy crap. So
hey, it's us.
So my first car, if you guys haven't listened to episode one, my first car is a 79 Datsun 280 ZX 2+2. Love that thing to death. I'm still occasionally shopping for one.
Yep.
I was like this close to shipping one from San Diego recently.
Yep.
It was a stripped down rust-free shell.
Yes. Well,
rust-free in quotes.
Yeah.
As much as you can get rust-free for those. And then you still got your 944.
Yep.
So we love these cars. I would think we know them fairly well through and through because where we started, where most car guys started, is we learned how to fix cars out of necessity.
Right.
Like,
we learned.
I couldn't afford to pay anybody.
Right. And so like, I blew my transmission. So I was either going to get to work or not. And so
you
had to figure it out.
You blew your timing and bent rods. And you're like, I guess I'm learning how to do a rebuild now. Yeah. So
how much is a new motor? Oh, okay, cool. I guess we're rebuilding this one.
So that being said, engine swaps are like things we dove into so deeply with these cars.
Especially because like when these cars came out, they were benchmarks for speed and stuff like that. But it's been 40 years. The 944 turns 40 this year.
It's insane.
Like the power that these cars are producing is nowhere near what's competitive nowadays. Like driving, going from my WRX to driving my Porsche, that means a half of the horsepower. And so there's naturally, as part of that, you're looking at engine swaps all the time. You're wondering like, okay, what could I do? Like, could I add a turbocharger to this naturally aspirated engine? What's that going to involve? Nah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, because there's two things you can do, right? You can improve the base, what it's got, which is there's pluses and minuses. The plus is it's already, ideally it's already running.
Right.
You already have the platform. It's already meant for that.
Right.
And you're just doing power adders and then doing some tuning to make it work with that.
And theoretically at that point too, you've already vetted out the rest of the system. So like at my point, like it wasn't get an old car and then boom, let's do a swap on it. It was get an old car, drive it and get through the suspension and the brakes and the weird electrical gremlins and like all that weird stuff to get to the point where you're like, okay, now the last thing is it's slow. So like, what do I want to do about it?
Yep.
And so yeah, like we've definitely been there and felt that itch for like, okay, well, what do? Do you just, like you're saying, do you go off of the base platform or do you look to something else? And that opens up such a can of worms because there's unique routes that can go. You can go. There's the like the tried and true. So like LS swap everything. There's like that group of people. But it's like it's a lot. But I think he says kind of what he's looking at engine swap wise.
So
and then we can go over kind of what our experience has been with looking into this because I know we've both looked into it a lot.
So he's looking at a K swap for the 944, which I don't know if we've dove in. You maybe have dove in that a little bit.
No, I don't know anything about K swap stuff.
So I know a little tiny bit.
Okay.
So with that, I'm needing to scrap the transaxle, which would do away with the fun aspect of the car.
Yeah.
Try to do a swap and try to preserve the transaxle or just build a motor that comes with it. So that's what he's considering.
Did you say what year it is? Or is it a turbo?
944.
Or? Just a 944.
I don't think he has it yet. He's looking for a 944. Okay. So I would say, you said Datsuns are almost unattainable. I would say if you're I like Datsuns a lot. Yeah. 944 is obviously really cool. But the thing I like about the Datsun is it's got, I would think, I haven't dove into 944 as much, but I think it's got a little bit better aftermarket support.
Yeah, I think like, so.
So I went through when I was looking for that. I found a 73 240Z, like dream car. And I went through and I sent it to you guys. I had a whole shopping cart. I have a whole note of all the aftermarket parts.
You found the car and then you're like, hey, by the way, I've been working on this. And it was your entire like 3-year build plan.
It was way too much money. But suspension mods, disc brake setups, engine, interior, exterior, like all of that stuff is super available and for reasonable prices too. Right. So I would say for Datsun, the hardest part is actually finding a decent shell.
Sure.
What I would do is obviously Facebook Marketplace is the new Craigslist. It's the best way to, I would think, shop for a car like that.
Totally.
I do the largest radius possible and then I search the furthest area out I wouldn't mind driving for something.
Sure.
So like, for example, we're in Green Bay. I shopped all the way south of Chicago. To like Nashville area, to like all basically three states surrounding.
Yeah.
Because that's a spot I wouldn't mind like us taking dad's truck, getting a trailer, driving there, picking this thing up.
Right.
And then the second thing I did after that was a little more unrealistic was I went to other warmer areas.
Yeah.
I know where there's probably going to be more rust free shells. Yeah. I searched Texas, Arizona, California.
Sure.
And looked on their Facebook marketplace, where there's actually some very reasonable prices on those cars because they're a lot more common.
Yeah. So the big thing here too, it seems like he's kind of looking local, I think, and like kind of looking for I'd be interesting to know what your budget is and kind of what you're looking at, because that dictates a lot of this too.
For sure.
If you've got the money to like go get a Southern car, that's the way to go. Because like
100%.
Especially if you're talking engine swaps, like you kind of don't really care. I mean, I guess this is another question too, is are you going to do kind of like what we did with our cars? Are you going to drive it for a little while first and fix everything else up and then get to that point? Which I definitely think is kind of the way to go. I've had my 944 for, I don't know, since 2013, however, 9 years now. Wow.
Wow.
So in that time, it still has the factory engine, the 2.5 liter. It's like 130 horsepower. It's pretty underwhelming. It's cool.
It is fun to drive though.
It is fun. Well, and that's the thing is like, so that's kind of the couple parts to this, right? Is like, so you're going to get the car. I would definitely recommend getting something, unless you're going to keep this focus as your daily and you're okay with not driving this thing for the next, you know, whatever your estimate on how long the project is going to be times three. Like if you're okay with not driving it for that long, then go ahead, get a shell and just start building the thing from the ground up. But like what I highly recommend is getting something that's at least drivable that you can feel, because then you can kind of get a feel for the weight distribution of the car. Yep. You get a feel for the suspension. You can kind of figure out what you want to do with it and go from there. And then it kind of depends. So the couple routes you can go, like I've looked into this a lot with my 944. You can add a turbocharger to the engine. You can totally do that, or a supercharger.
Yeah, it can handle what, like 6 or 7 PSI?
Yeah, something
stock.
Like that, which could get you into the 200. So that's plenty of horsepower. Plenty of horsepower would be fun.
Because we're also like, to put it in perspective,
right?
So a 200 horsepower car, you're like, yeah, cool. Camry is new, has more horsepower than that. But this is a super light car.
Right.
Like they're very light, especially once you're taking out all of the like emission stuff and like some of the interior. And like if you're doing a little bit of weight reduction, it's a very light car. It's a lot more raw feeling than a new modern car. So if you drive like a more modern stick shift car, it's a little bit numb.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot, like there's more safety. There's more safety's fine, but there's more comfort stuff. Like
the safety. Well, that's safety's fine. Thing, actually.
But there's more like comfort stuff to it. So like they have like the hill assist on most modern manual cars, where like you're not going to roll back.
Right.
Which is like how we learned. I burned a whole clutch in my Volkswagen going up hills. We had this Christmas thing, and I burned a whole clutch out of it. So that's the stuff you learn. So all to say, the older cars are a lot more raw.
Right.
So like that 130 horsepower, you feel all 130 of it going through it, because it's stiff, especially now manual steering rack.
Right.
If you guys TikTok live here, we went on live working on that thing, pounding away at it for a few hours.
Because that's the whole thing is like, and that's why I definitely recommend driving it before, because you may have unrealistic, you'll get the car and think, well, I got to have X number of horsepower because I heard new cars have this, so I got to have this much horsepower. You probably don't. Like horsepower goes a lot further in an older car like that. That's lighter and feels closer to the road.
Yep.
So driving it around a little bit and like vetting out what you actually want to do with the car is helpful. So then those are your two routes. You're talking about doing a K swap. So it seems, you know, if you're familiar with that engine, pick something you're familiar with. You don't want to be learning two new platforms at the same time. But some other stuff, I know part of this email was kind of asking like, what are some overlooked pieces of engine swaps? Like what are, I think that was in here, right? Or one of the messages, I think that was on the Facebook message that he sent. Was kind of wondering like, what are the things that people usually miss? Like, what are the obstacles to doing engine swaps? Things like that. So one thing I'll tell you right off the bat with a 944, regardless of which engine platform you go with, and with any car, I guess, in general, if you're looking at engine swaps, you have to think about things like cross members, like engine mounts, like things like that.
Yep.
So specifically with the 944, it's got a center support underneath the engine that I think every single engine you swap into that car, you have to do a custom oil pan or a dry sump system because it interferes with that. So you have to custom create an oil pan that goes under. You could do a tubular like center support, but that's a whole other thing. So that's a big piece to it, is consider what you're going to do for oil and for the oil pan. The 944 oil pan is very specific. It comes over and drops down below the back of it. So everything, like all the popular engine swaps are this thing. Like, you got LS swaps. You have a lot more popular now is the 07K, which is really cool. That's the one that I wanted to do. And then you have like
that Audi. Actually comes up first when I looked up K swap.
Interesting. Yeah, well, because it's K24 turbo on it. So you've got the 1.8, you've got the 07K, you've got LS swaps, and then a bunch of other, you know, you got a couple guys doing 2JZs, K swaps, things like that. But that's the biggest thing to consider with that. Consider the framing things. If we talk 07K, that motor was never designed to go the correct way in an engine bay. It was always designed to go sideways. So there's not engine mount systems out there for it. So that's all going to be custom, obviously.
Yeah.
So consider that. Consider the raw, like, fitting a square peg in a round hole of trying to get an engine in your engine bay.
Yeah.
Some other stuff that you got to consider too is, you know, think about fuel delivery. Like, right now you have the fuel pump back in the fuel tank. You have the whole system running through. You're going to have to manage that to a different engine, figure out like what flow rate you're going to need, everything like that. So fuel system is a big one that I think people focus on mounting and everything up front in the engine bay. They don't really think about delivery, things like that. And then engine management's another huge one too. Like, which route do you want to go with engine management? Some people Frankenstein, like a ECU out of whatever car this motor came out of, and then try to hook that up to the whole dash cluster. You've got, you know, tachometer, you've got all these things you need to run through the ECU. So trying to figure out like, okay, what do you want to do that route? Do you want to go full custom? Do you want to do a standalone, like a VEMS or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I know like Mega Squirt and Micro Squirt are like another, it's like a DIY tuning thing that they've got. So thinking about like what you want to do for engine management and all that goes into it too, because that's going to talk, then you're talking about like custom wiring harnesses. You're talking about like custom gauges. If you're going to replace the stuff that's there, like there's a lot of things to consider besides just fitting the engine inside.
Yeah. So I think, so here's the main thing, for JV. So 944, love it.
Yep. If that's the thing that you're going to get, like, go for it. I think
for sure
any car you're going to do an engine swap on, there's going to be things that are going to be complicated, but pick one and go with it. You're going to love either.
The big points are going to be what is the budget, what is the time frame, because there's definitely like I just googled real quick swap kits for it.
Yeah,
the LS one is done and done and done, so like they have tons of kits. It's expensive, but they have kits out there for it, so it's a little more plug and play, where it doesn't look like there's a ton for K24. It looks like it's pretty new in the forums. The Audi 1.8 turbo, I have a little bit of experience with that engine from my A4,
and that one, like, you can get, so there, like, adapting the bell housing to the engine's a big piece too. Yeah. So like with the 1.8, the advantage is you can get a spacer off of a 924 and it bolts both together. So you don't have to do anything custom. With 07K and everything else, you have to get a whole custom adapter. You have to do the whole thing to get to the torque tube that's in the car to go out. But anyway, keep going. Sorry.
So I would say time frame, budget, and then goals for the car are going to be three big things, because we can talk about all of the things you could possibly do.
Yeah.
And we're dreamers too. If you if you want to sit down and talk about like dreaming about this car and like what it could possibly be, we will absolutely do that. And I did see, so I just looked at his email again. So you're in Minneapolis. That's not that far from us.
Yeah.
I would say if you're up for it, if you're ever in the Green Bay area or somewhere around close to here, and you want to, if you haven't driven a 944 in its fairly stock form, you've got some stuff
for now.
Before you lift it.
A minute.
If you want to drive one, I would say if you're up to it.
I don't know if it'll be driving. It won't be driving anytime soon, but we'll definitely, if you want to talk about it, like, shoot us an email or something, pick our brain.
If
it's driving, you're welcome to, but it's, I don't think it's going to be for this summer.
Is it not driving right now?
No, it's completely taken apart.
The steering rack out.
Yeah, okay, my bad. I don't think it's going to be driving until it's lifted. Because that's so the round circle on that. If you have any questions, shoot us an email. Like, I've gone deep into this. I really want to do an 07K swap. I used to have a 5-cylinder Audi. Loved it. 07K is kind of the route I wanted to go. That's becoming popular, so parts prices are going to come down. There is there are swap kits out there for it now, which is cool. So you don't have to custom do a lot of stuff.
And 07K, for people who aren't fluent in Volkswagen,
that's
Audi
true,
group,
that's
is
true.
The 5-cylinder.
Yes, it's a
turbo.
2.5-liter 5-cylinder. It shares the configuration of half of a R8 V10 engine.
Yeah.
So it's not similar to in construction, but it is kind of in most people's minds, the modern form of the AAN, like the Rally King, Audi S2 hill climb car, that whole thing. Like, it's the new version of that.
And they're very reasonable to source from junkyards and stuff.
You can get it for like $250 because it came out of Jettas.
Yeah, they put them in Jettas. Yeah. They put them in some TTs, I think.
Yeah.
Yep, they put them in the Rabbits. Yeah. They put them in all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So it's fairly reasonable to get.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of custom stuff with that too, but it sounds like there's some options.
Yeah, so anyways, huge power stuff you can get out of it. But
I think we got some pretty good options for you.
Yes.
To consider.
But yeah, the end of this whole piece of it. So in my journey of all of this, I've wanted to do a swap. I've talked about LS as like a family tribute thing. There's been like a whole bunch of different routes that I wanted to go with this, and where it is now is now I've got a WRX and I've got this, and this may be end where you end up too, because you've got the is it a Focus RS? Is that what I saw on there?
Yeah.
So you've got that. You're kind of in a similar place as me of having a WRX and a 944.
Yep.
So where I opted, I'm not saying this is the right answer, but just where I landed on this is I'm accepting the fact that I don't want to put the money into, because it's gonna be $2,000-$3,000 to do an engine swap
for
it all said and done. Because then there's other supporting things that we didn't even get into yet of making sure your suspension, your brakes, your tires are all up to date with that, which we'll touch on in a second.
I would say like $5,000 is a reasonable budget.
Oh yeah.
Because of like you can get the engine.
Depending on how much DIY you're doing, anywhere
for sure.
3 to 5
for sure.
Because you could cheap out on it, you could figure it out. But yeah, if you're for any of it, if you're asking for help or getting kits that are available, you're definitely in the $5,000 range for it. For sure. But for me, I gave up on the whole, I'm like, let's just accept that the 944 is slow, but it's connected and it's fun. And the WRX is going to be the fast car. So I'm actually going to do a Safari build on my 944 now. So it's going to stay factory engine for now. And it's going to look like a 4-inch lift and big tires and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we opened it up on our TikTok and everything. That's what everybody voted for and commented on. So that's the route we're going with it. But
well, it was like 50-50, but we were like, we really want to do Safari.
It was in the middle, but then all the comments were like, you should definitely Safari. Yeah, so we're like, yeah, done.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
But yeah, so that's the plan there. But yeah, dude, like the big thing, I guess to summarize again, I think we've summarized like 6 times now, but just getting into something, if you can go drive one, you can feel it out, feel what they're like. There's a lot out there. There's tons of forum support stuff out there for it too. Definitely whatever you're considering engine swap wise for anyone else too, not just 944s, Google it. Somebody else has already thought about it and gotten some info on it. You can get
that's a nice thing with a car that's been around for 4 years is there's been thousands of other crazy people like us who have thought like, what if I put X, Y, and Z motor into it? And I guess all this with the asterisk, some of the stuff we're talking about, like what's going to be the most realistic or easiest swap. But dude, if you want to be the first to swap the 3-cylinder turbo from the Toyota Corolla or whatever into it, like, dude, be the pioneer and be the first. Just realize it's going to take a lot of time. It's going to be very expensive. But it's anything's possible with enough time and money with cars, essentially.
If it's just going to sit, if it doesn't have to be your daily driver, like it's not about spending, like it's not about spending $5,000 now. It's about spending $5,000 over the next like 2-3 years, and you can be slow about it and you can do it in stages. You could even have the car drive it and be building an engine on the side, getting it ready to
go. Sure.
Cause you could take measurements on the real car, be applying that somewhere else, be working on it. Like there's a lot that you can do over time with it. So just kind of get a clear goal, clear idea of what you want to do with an engine platform you're comfortable with. Because like end of the day, like you're not going to notice the difference. If you end up with a 2-liter turbocharged engine from one company versus the next, it's not going to be any different in the seat at all down the road. It's all about just something you're comfortable with, something you want to get parts from, whatever, whatever you want to do, make it your build. But yeah, that's kind of, there's a lot that goes into it. Like Google it though. There's a lot of forum posts and stuff about everything you need to consider for an engine swap. But those are some of the things that we've considered for it. But
yeah,
thank
so
you for
you
sending
want,
it in, man.
JV, bro, if you want to follow up on that, if you want to shoot us kind of answers to some of that stuff we talked about, like timeline, budget, goals with the car, then we can get a little bit more detailed about like maybe specific what we would what we would think or recommend.
Yeah, we'll give you scenarios. Maybe we'll both do like a write-up of like, all right, if this was my car and this is this, then I would go this route with it.
Yep, and we'll do a pitch for you. Like. I'll try and find some, you know, we can find links to kits and whatever, stuff like that. We love doing that stuff. So. So yeah, that's awesome. So what's the next one? I know this one was super recent. Was there another one that came in? I think someone, the Datsun.
Oh yeah. CDZX. Yeah, yeah.
That was on here. So Adam, if you're still on here, we'll get to you. You sent us your Corolla in.
Well, let's do his first because he was on here. So let's
I think you're still on here.
Yeah, let's pound it up.
So
here, let me just swipe away this real quick so I can see where we're at. Sweet.
Woo! What's
up, man?
Sorry, everybody, on the recording. We are currently doing a TikTok live as well. So,
all right. So we've got Adam sent us in on our Instagram at the third pedal podcast at the third pedal podcast.
Correct.
So he's got, I don't know the year of it here. Let's see if he says it's a ST162. So it's a little different than the Rally Championship one, but it's a Corolla.
Celica,
my bad. Sorry. It's a Celica with the pop-ups. It looks super clean.
Awesome. It's convertible.
Yeah, it's a vert. This thing is sweet.
It looks awesome. Super, super clean. We'll post, like we said, we'll post pictures in the video version. So if you're watching, if you're listening on Spotify, tap on the video, check it out. This thing looks great. We were doing a live right before the podcast started, and he commented and talked about this thing. But it's so cool. I've never actually paid that much attention to the front end of
these. I was just thinking,
I kind of like the whole wraparound grill in the front.
It's super 80s. It looks awesome. Yep. So that's an awesome car, dude. So he says, he sent some pictures of, we were talking about, I think someone asked on the TikTok live, what's your favorite rally car? Yep. And then we mentioned Toyota.
Yeah.
And he commented he's got that Celica. So looks the Celica so cool. WRC rally cars, the golden era. Yep. Yep. Of rally was awesome. So he says, I'm 16, new to the car scene, planning on going to high performance motorsports as my major. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
I didn't even know that was a thing you could do in school.
Yeah, right.
High performance motorsports is a degree now?
I guess.
That is awesome, dude.
That's so cool. Yeah, the car looks super clean. It's awesome, man. Being 16, getting into cars, that's so cool.
I was 16 when I got my Datsun.
Yep. Yeah, I was doing whatever dumb stuff on my Jeep, taking doors off and stuff when I was 16. But yeah, that's super great, man. It's exciting that you're getting started at that point, and especially with something really cool to get into. We'd love to hear, I don't think he said in here, long-term plans for... like what's going
to
happen with the
build. So he wants to do a K24A2 engine swap with turbo.
Cool.
No clue where to start. So
no clue where to
I
start.
Have no experience with these cars. We did talk a little bit about swap.
Listen to 30 seconds ago on our thing.
I think the general principles still are the same. So what's your timeline? What's your budget? What's your goals with the car?
Yeah. Well, and something then, like this too, that's a K series. That's a Honda motor going into Toyota, right? So I'm sure something like that's been explored before. So definitely, if you're still on the live here, if you're listening to the episode, go Google your chassis code and swapping that engine code, or even a K-Series engine in general, to figure out those things. Maybe there is a little bit more universal bolt pattern as far as it goes from engine to the bell housing or whatever that looks like. Check that out and start looking into it a little bit and see if anybody's done it. That's the best way to start, especially if you're new to all this stuff and you're not going to be the one to I'll just go weld up my own engine mounts, to see, all right, this is what I want to put in it. Who has done it, and what, what hacks or what in between ways can I if I actually use the clutch from this car, it's going to go between.
Yeah. You'd be so forums are your best friend. Facebook groups are awesome because people will be all right, this model year of this engine bolts up to the transmission of this model year of this, which fits in this model year of this. And they have done years and years of research and compile that all into a few posts.
Yes.
And you get to see experience of them. Actually,
it's so helpful.
I tried that too. And actually this one worked better.
Yes.
You get to find all that stuff. Yeah. So it's a lot of time. It's a lot of research. And then also figuring out exactly what you want to do. But I would say
it's huge. Yeah.
I don't know this for a fact, but rather than going Honda to Toyota, Toyota has some good engine platforms. They have the 4AGE.
Yep.
They have the newer version of that. I forget what it's called, 4SGE or something like that. Four cylinder, very turbo-able engine turbo-able and drivetrain.
I like it.
And it's Toyota. So I know brand to brand, like you can swap Audi engines to Audi engines, and a lot of times the transmissions will bolt up.
They've used
and stuff
a similar transmission for so long.
Yeah, because you think about it, the manufacturers use similar stuff because then they can produce a lot more of the same thing.
Right.
So I would look into on the forums, obviously if you're set on K24, run with it and do it.
Right.
But check on the forums what else there is.
Right.
If someone has done if there's a stronger Toyota motor that you can swap in.
Yep.
Obviously 2JZ, never going to be mad at that. Right. That would be awesome. But for faster revving, rally kind of thing, if that's your goal.
Yeah. Also, I know K-Series motors have been making V8s feel pretty sad lately. So have at it, dude. But Google it and see, because there's going to be those universal parts. Somebody has done something similar and will have answers for you, especially at 16. Just start joining Facebook groups, looking at the forums, start reading a bunch. That's the big first step to all of these swaps, is just reading and figuring out what you're... It's way cheaper to spend more time up front figuring out your trajectory and then spending more on the build versus buying stuff just because I found a good deal on this K-Series engine. And then you get 6 months in and you realize I wish I would have bought this other one that would have been a couple hundred more, but now I'm way far into this platform.
So
having an idea where you want to go.
I would say
don't
be afraid to ask on the forums and stuff. I know some of that could be intimidating. There are definitely some not so nice people on there.
But it's mostly
it's mostly cool people. Yeah. And I think us, as I wouldn't say we're veterans in the car community by any means, but we've been doing this for 10 plus years now, as far as doing this meaning being obsessed with cars.
Right.
I think and you guys watching, if you've been in this for a while, you've had experience with the swaps, we have a pretty big responsibility to keep this going for the next generation too. And be that cool guy that can help this 16-year-old with a Celica. If you've done this swap before, even if you think He's going to ask a lot of dumb questions. That's fine. I ask so many stupid questions in Datsun forums and Audi forums and stuff. Like, it's okay. But like, we have a big responsibility to keep that moving forward and also make sure there's a next generation of awesome car people just like us that can keep this thing going. Because otherwise, we're not going to have any cool cars to buy at some point. So,
but good for you, Adam. This is cool. I like awesome, seeing that you've got this really, really clean car. It's cool. Pop-up gang. You got the 944 too. So This is great. Keep working on it. Keep us posted with what you do too. If you decide the direction to go, keep us posted. We'll talk about it in the future too. This is awesome, man.
But, yeah, keep sending us updates. Like I know Austin's been doing that. He's been tagging us and stuff. Send us updates. We love that. Yeah. Love to see that. It's really neat to see these cars progress.
Yeah. We're trying to figure out too, like how we can, like what's the platform, where do we share stuff like this? Cause we're still, I don't know, we're still in the very early stages of just figuring out like, how do we want to use Instagram? Do we start featuring stuff like this? Is there a way that, is there a place on our website for it? What? But we'll figure that out and start pairs. But please keep sharing stuff. Send it in. Once you have developments on any of these, pass it along. We'd love to hear it and keep going from there. But yeah, just awesome. Can't say enough though, dude. That's really cool to see the 16-year-old with that clean it. Cause yours was not and mine was not when I was 16. And Tyler's with his BMW and his air conditioning through the floor and
all that. I had that too in the Datsun. Yeah. We had all kinds of rust. So we've got one more. Speaking of Datsun, we'll wrap it up with, I think we're at pretty much time. So we're going to wrap it up with this one. We got Chad here, Red Rock Resto sent in I thought this was this morning. My bad. This week, he's got an 83 280 ZX. This car is near and dear to my heart. This is like,
it
almost
looks
identical.
Like yours. It's crazy.
It's the same model year. So 79 to 83 was the last run of first run of the 280 ZX. That's when they first did that one. Okay. They switched to ZX. This one looks like it looks pretty awesome. I think it's a turbo. So you might have to clarify that for us. It's got the turbo hood.
Interesting.
Yeah, this little dip in the hood for the intake on the turbo. But other than that, it looks completely stock. So that's awesome. So
it looks like it's in pretty good shape.
It looks like, it looks like it's fairly rust free.
Paint's bad.
But it's just a two door, which I like. I like the shape of those. I had a 2+2, just the only one available. It was new to Datsuns, whatever. So that was kind of like a hatchbacky more of a look, which I didn't really love.
Yeah.
So these I like. It's got some aftermarket mirrors already, aftermarket wheels already.
Yep.
It looks like someone had done some work to it back in the day. It's got some new wiring and stuff.
Got
new
the radiator. Mishimoto.
Yeah. So that's awesome, man. I'm excited to see that. So you said, let me see if you had a question. Oh, yeah. About starting YouTube.
Yes.
Uploading videos about the process for storing the Datsun. So we talked about this a little bit prior to. But yeah, that's awesome. I would say our biggest, tip for starting YouTube as fairly novice YouTube people ourselves is you got to focus number one on just like being you.
Yeah.
So like whatever you're recording, however you are, however you like working on stuff, like just be that 100% through and through. You know, don't try to, if you have like that YouTuber like idol that you watch all the time, like you want to have stuff just like them.
Yeah.
I would say don't try to just copy how they do things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some people have a formula and it works, but like be you 100% and you're going to find the people that want to watch you and watch the stuff that you're doing.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is just post what you want to post. If you put on some act or if you try to do what, there's like a lot of, I mean, like I'm thinking of that one Miata guy that's got the blue and magenta one that's on TikTok and stuff. Like he has a very unique way of talking about his build and going through stuff. And it's awesome. And if somebody else just tries to replicate and do that, it's not going to be real to them. That's totally who that guy is. And so just do that. Just post videos of what's going on. That's all that this whole podcast has been too, is just us like, this is how we talk. We talk. That's why we did a live before we talk like this normally. Like, but just to do that, to document what's going on. Don't try to like fluff anything up or like do it. Just like be honest with it. Document the pieces that you want to go through and just start posting it. That's the biggest thing too, is just post it. Like nothing has to be perfect. Nothing has to be super polished or whatever. Just whatever, you're going out in the garage, set your camera up, hey, this is what we're working on today, and just start sharing it.
Yep.
And people who are interested will follow and interact with it. It'll happen. Organic growth will happen from that.
Yep.
But consistency, if you really want to get into it, consistency is a big thing. So figure 100%. Out kind of, you know, set up for yourself, not to overly structure it, but whatever it is going to be. Every Thursday night, I'm going to take a video and post something about it and whatever it is. Just consistently do that. Carve out time for yourself to do it. Don't get discouraged. It's very hard to start something like that. And you can't let analytics rule your life with it either. Like if people interact, they do. If not, whatever. Ultimately, end of the day, you've got a sick car that you're working on. So just start cruising with it. Definitely send us whatever you start posting with it. We'll watch it. We'll love it.
Yep.
But yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like just be you. Just post stuff like that. I mean, the example that we were talking about before, one of our connections on here, Ryan, I don't know how to say his last name, Krause, but he's the guy, if you guys have seen him on TikTok, doing a beautiful build on a 911, doing all custom metal work for
that
a wide
thing is
body.
So awesome.
And just he spent
he's making
so,
a slant nose, right?
Yeah, making a slant, a modern yeah. slant nose,
yeah.
and doing and showing how to do like handmade metal panels for everything.
Yep.
And like I've watched so many of his videos, and it feels honestly, if you zoom out and you're looking at videos, it feels like a lot of them are kind of the same because he's going over similar pieces as he's going right. through it all. But it's just so he's just work. It's his project. He doesn't have a timeline for it. He's just yep. working on it in the off time when he can.
And just like you said, he just yeah. puts the camera up and yeah. just does his thing.
Right.
And like it's that's so cool. I think that's the best thing you can do. Just put right. your camera up, do your thing. It's going to feel 1,000% awkward at first.
Oh, so much.
For yeah. sure. Like our first couple episodes recording, we were like, do I look at you? Do I look at the camera?
Yeah.
Like, what
don't
do?
Believe us. Go back to episode 1-4. Yeah, right. Go look at, we're cruising on like 2 hours of sleep and a high of going on the Tila Dragon.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
but just do it. Like you just,
yeah, just
start
put it
and
out
cruise.
There.
And I mean, we're like we've said a couple weeks ago, we're at the 1 year point in our podcast and yep. we're just now starting to see like more interaction. We found more people to connect with and things, but yep. it takes time, but don't be discouraged. Don't let the, you know, not everybody is going to be the next Mr. Beast or whatever it is, but
right.
anything can be successful if you like are consistent, you cruise with it. And yeah, just be honest to what you're doing, you know, just share the process along the way. You're going to connect with people. You're going to, I mean, in this case, on this episode, this is nuts because we talked to one person who is interested in a Datsun and a 944.
Yep.
Both have those. We freaked out about that.
Yeah.
You send in this thing. It looks exactly like the splitting image of what you used yep. to have. Like this is, there are people out there who are working in the similar stuff and like will have advice to give along the way as you're,
yep.
that's the biggest thing too. If you're documenting building this thing, you're going to run into like whatever the episode where you're taking apart the brake master cylinder and you're wrenching on something like that
yep.
and somebody will comment like, oh hey, like that looks really cool in my car, I don't know if this applies to you, but I did X, and then it's going to cause you to research and look into that. Maybe that's going to be the thing that makes your swap
I had
so much
that
easier.
A lot when I was doing mine because I was yeah. in the mostly Facebook groups and I did mine, and one of the things that the groups are super helpful for specifically for your car, I know I don't know where you are, well, Red Rack, that's not around here necessarily, but I know Dots in Midwest is one that I was in for a long yeah. time, still in that, and I still just check out whatever other people are posting.
Yeah.
But I had one just for an example, I did all the poly bushings
oh, yeah,
through the right. whole car. And I did two of them at the front. You'll see this if you get under your car. They go to, I think it's kind of by the control arms up front. It's kind of like a V up to the front of the car. And I replaced, those all came with the poly bushings too. And I replaced all those. And then I was just posting photos being like, hey guys, this is what I'm working on. And I had so many comments of people like, hey, swap those back to rubber like right now, because it's actually a hazard because they're so stiff and the car isn't strong enough. If you do get in an accident, those will push through and like wreck everything.
No way.
Because they're too stiff. So you got to go to back to
so
a rubber bushing.
You got to give because it yeah. isn't, unless you're reinforcing other things, you got to go back
right.
to the thing.
Yeah. Unless I was doing new subframe and stuff. So those yeah. people on there are super helpful.
Yeah. I found most people are super helpful on that stuff too. So yep. like if you are, and when you start posting these videos, like finding those groups and sharing sparingly, not spamming it, but sharing sparingly to be like, hey, I'm working on my car. This is what I've worked on this week.
Yep.
That's going to be huge, huge helpful for people. You know, they're going to be receptive to like, hey, cool that somebody else is working on one of these
right.
and not letting it rot away.
Yep.
But then that, those little pieces of like, hey, just FYI, like I've always done this. Or if you have a question in the video and you end the video with a question, that's not a failure. You don't have to have all the answers.
Right.
But to post something and post that up for like, hey, can anybody suggest anything? People are generally, you know, there's a few people out there that are kind of tool bags or whatever, but like there is a lot of helpful advice from people who've done it before and who, you know, people enjoy talking about their cars. So like if you ask somebody a question that they've already dealt with, they're not going to have an issue talking about it, sharing what they've gone through, their experience and everything. But yeah, awesome, man. Good luck with the 280ZX. Like we said, send us the videos once you start posting things like that. We'd love to see them. And yeah, hopefully in the future we can, on the next, maybe the next listener episode, we do something like this. We can, or crew episode, not listener, crew, yep. you guys are part of it. On the next one, we can go over kind of where you're at with it and what's happened with the build so far. But
yeah, definitely keep us updated. Everybody yeah. we talked to, everybody we mentioned, keep us updated, tag us and stuff. We love to see it.
Totally.
Yeah, that's great.
That's kind of our thing. Thank you so much for interacting and sending this stuff in. As we've said before, we've got our website at now, thirdpedalpodcast.com. We didn't talk about this yet, but this episode comes out on tax day or tax week.
Oh, yeah. Right? Happy tax day.
Yeah,
tax week or whatever when it comes out. Yeah, it's a really fun time.
Yeah, whether you're getting a refund from your interest-free loan to the government or you're paying out, we do have our merch store live now. So if you've got a refund coming or you want to support something, we're going to do a coupon code. Let's come up with a coupon code right now. We're going to do 10% off
site-wide.
Let's
do Crew 10.
Crew 10. All right.
Crew 10. You guys are a crew. You guys get it. Crew 10.
Perfect. So thirdpedalpodcast.com. Check out the merch store. We got some hoodies. We got t-shirts. We got hats, stickers, stuff like that. The one we're most excited about is that this is my garage shirt design.
Yes.
Designed to get dirty. So go to there, put in code CREW10. You'll get 10% off. And yeah, tag us when you get your shirts and stuff. We're trying to put together a library so we can show everybody that's in our crew, everybody wearing yep. the merch, everything like that. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.
There it is.